Well, let me adjust this thing. Brother Scott's always looking down on me. I am bigger than what I thought it was. I went to the doctor the other day and they have the charts that tell you how tall you're supposed to be according to your weight. According to that chart, I'm supposed to be 6'4". So that was encouraging. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 13. We'll read verse 34 and verse number 35. It's good to come back again this year to see how everybody's aging. I said I just turned 68, and if I had known it was going to be this good, I'd have got here sooner. How about that? I did learn about the four stages of aging. Have you heard about it? It applies to everybody. The first stage is you believe in Santa Claus. Second stage is you get old enough that you don't believe in Santa Claus. Third stage is you get married and have youngins and you become Santa Claus. And the last stage is you start looking like Santa Claus. And somebody told me the other day I look like Santa Claus. I said, that's ridiculous. He's short, fat, and gray-headed. I see no resemblance. Man, I enjoyed this choir singing. What a blessing to be able to magnify the Lord in song. Appreciate that good music. Always look forward to it. And this front row here is sort of intimidating. I don't know if they're the Amen Corner or the meeting of the Sanhedrin. I hadn't figured it out. I hope they're my Amen Corner. I shook hands with every one of them. I'm going to get on the right side. Amen? Amen? All right. Like I said, we're starting out all right. It's good to be here. Love your pastor and wife today, celebrating her birthday. And we get to be a part of that. Boy, I'm excited. And if they had as much fun making that food as they did putting it together out there, as I could hear and smell, it's going to be good. So we're looking forward to that. Matthew chapter number 13, we'll read verse 34, verse 35. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. I want to labor this morning for a few moments introducing this matter of the thought of the parables, those short stories that Jesus gave, some 40 odd numbers of them, that were filled with heavenly meaning. The word parables simply means to take objects and lay them down side by side and parallel them. To look into the one to see what you might be able to see reflections of in the other. I thought about that with our twin granddaughters. They're now 11 years old. Up till they're 8, I could not tell them apart. They're not identical twins, but they looked to me like they were. But when I could get them right in front of me, outside of that, when I saw one going by, I'd just say, hey, twin. I don't know which one I got. I'd just say, hey, twin. But standing in front of me, I could see the likenesses and I could see those things that were unalike. I could parallel them. I could compare them and see the reflections of one in the other. This is what Jesus did. I call it worlds that are so far apart. He brought together and he laid them down. And it's in the midst of these parables, he shows us divine and heavenly truths. These are not entertaining stories. They're not intriguing stories to captivate us, but they are life-changing stories. There are truths that he wants us to hear and truths that he wants us to see that only he can reveal unto us. And what I want to do for this morning's hour is I want to reach out and grab four worlds that Jesus draws our attention to in every parable. I would challenge you to read those parables. We know many of them by heart, of course. We know the parable of the prodigal son going into the far country and makes his way back home, of course, into the love of the Father. We know the parable of the good Samaritan. I call him the God Samaritan, who went and restored life to the one who was left half dead. We know the parable of the shepherd who went and into the wilderness and got that sheep and brought him back. We know those parables of building your house upon the sand or building your house upon the rock. On and on, he tells these short stories with heavenly meanings, and he lays out these four worlds that you will find in each one of the parables. Let me just mention them to you for a few moments. The first world that you will find in every parable is what I call the natural world. It is the physical world. It is amazing how an eternal God goes to nature to teach us eternal truths. Because it is here in this world that we first learn about another world. It is nature as God created it and nature as all of us have to experience it. I've noticed in these parables there are no make-believe worlds. There's no science fiction. There's no fairy tales. There are no beings or ETs or flying dragons or monsters. They are true-to-life stories. It may not have happened to you personally, but you know somebody that it did happen to. In these stories, as Jesus told them, the things that the components of those stories, all these people had to do is look around and they could see the natural. When he talked about the shepherd and the sheep, they could look up on those Judean hills and see shepherds and they could see sheep. When he talked about the rocks and the sands, they could look down by the waters and they could witness that. When he talked about the sparrow, they knew that well. When he talked about the lilies, they understood that also. He was taking them into their world. And it was in their world, the ordinary stories that he told to ordinary people in ordinary places. Nature that you were born into and nature that you are a part of, what you know. He comes in each of these parables and speaks to us, as he does really in all of the Word of God, in a language we understand, because this is the world that we live and move and we have our being in. It is where we live our everyday living. In other words, what Jesus does in these parables is he comes to where they are. He comes to who they are. He comes there, and it is there that he begins these parables so that they might understand, starting with things that they know something about. And in these stories, you're going to find the components of life. It's the components in your life and the components in my life. And all of these parables, he has within them embodied the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's got embodied within these parables things that happen to all of us in some fashion or in some form. And as I say, whether you've experienced the one particular, maybe not, but you've experienced one of these parables. You've experienced the components of them within your life, the delights and the dangers of life. I like what one preacher said to me one time. He said, "Brother Dana, no matter what goes on in your life at any point in time, when you line all those letters up, it spells L-I-F-E. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know where, as your pastor said, already. You are this morning. I don't know what you're going through or what you're facing. It could be that right now you're sensing what you feel is good. Maybe there's wrapped up in it some bad. And maybe you're sitting right in the middle of the ugly. But I'm going to tell you something. That's all this world has to offer. Is L-I-F-E. And that's where Jesus wants to come. And that's where Jesus wants to reveal and speak these parables. Is where the rubber meets the road. Where you live and where you are living right now. In the realm of these truths. He is coming to your street in these parables. He is coming to your avenue in these parables. He's coming to your house in these parables. He's coming to your job in these parables. He's coming to you in the midst of your conditions, as I say, good, bad, and ugly. In these parables will be found the world in which you exist and the world in which you experience life. He's coming here. But I'm glad that he didn't mind coming to where I was. And he didn't mind coming to where you are. He's coming into the... Every parable begins with the natural. Something you know something about. Something you are experiencing. Something you are going through. And it is right there in the midst of it that he comes and he speaks. Because there is a sense, and understand this, there is a sense in which we are all, our lives are all parables. That you are a parable and I am a parable. We are a short story. But oh, how he wants to come into your short story and reveal his glory. He wants to come into your physical, into your parable and put some heavenly story inside of it. But he has to start in the good, the bad, and the ugly. I was thinking about eating over there. Man, that's going to be good. But some of it will be bad for me. I know, too many cakes and stuff. And then it turns into a lot of ugly. But you know what I call that? I call it life. L-I-F-E. The doctor's report, I don't mean to be cold and indifferent. I'm just going to tell you, Jesus doesn't come into an imaginary world. Right. He doesn't come into a fairy tale world. Right. He comes into where real people live real lives. And it is there that he speaks his parable. He's coming to where you're at. Into the world of the natural. The body that I experience, the issues that I have, the circumstances that I face. That's just life. But thank God that's where he comes. Secondly, Jesus is reaching out. As I say with these parables, and he's grabbing worlds so far apart and he's laying them together because he wants you to see some things in there that he can show you in some other things. He shows us the natural, but in the midst of the natural, he reveals the spiritual. In the midst of the earthly, isn't that amazing? In the midst of the good, the bad, and the ugly, he shows you the heavenly. It's in this world with all it has to offer. Thank God you found out there was another world. Something beyond this world. Jesus was the greatest of parabolic speakers. Reason being is he knew both worlds like no one else did. Jesus knew the physical. He knew everything about what we are going through because he came to experience it. And not only that, without him was not anything made that was made. He made it down to the atom. He knows it all. Nobody knows the sparrow like him. Nobody knows the lily like him. Nobody knows the sheep like him. Nobody knows you like him. Nobody knows what you're going through like him. He knows the physical. He knows us. But at the same time, he is God manifested in the flesh. The same one who inhabits all heaven made all of earth. And when he made all of earth, he put the same DNA of heaven in the DNA of earth. So that if you get to looking at what you're looking at and seeing what you're seeing, you're going to see that there's more to it than what you're seeing. You're going to be able to look right straight through that and see that. He will have you ponder this so you can ponder that. He'll have you and thinking about, as he did Nicodemus, the natural birth, because he wants you to think about a spiritual birth. He'll talk about the wind because he wants you to know that there's more to this thing than the natural wind. There's the wind of the Holy Ghost. He'll talk about the water because he wants you to know about the water of the Word of God. Everything Jesus looked at, he saw more than we could ever see. And he pointed it out to us. He said, that sparrow right there, your father is feeding that sparrow. He said, those lilies, your father is clothing those lilies. He said, that shepherd's not just an ordinary shepherd. That's me going after you. He was able to reach into that which was physical, and in that physical see the DNA and the revelation of something that was spiritual.
Oh, yes.
Isn't it true that everything you've ever learned about heaven, you learned it on earth? Huh? Matter of fact, if you think you're going to have to wait till you get to heaven to find out about heaven, you probably ain't going to heaven. Because you're already seated in heavenly places. And when you got saved, it was heaven that came down and glory filled your soul. You've been able to worship in heavenly places and praise him in heavenly places. Thank God we've been able to fellowship in heavenly places. We've had him here who is the heavenly. But we found about it. In this world, there is another world. This ain't all there is to it. Oh, I done told you. I say again, there is a sense in which we're all parables. We're all L-I-F-E. We're all in the... But I'm glad for the day when Jesus stepped into my parable and brought a heavenly meaning to it and showed me something beyond this life. Salt wasn't just salt to him. The S-U-N just wasn't the S-U-N to him. Light wasn't just light to him. It spoke of something beyond what you see or what you feel or what you touch. It showed you that there is a heavenly. And aren't you glad there is? The heavens do what? Declare the glory of God. They got the stamp of the heavenly in them. The firmament sheweth his handiwork, day into day uttereth speech, and night into night uttereth knowledge. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Oh, if you'll just let him point it out to you. If you'll just let him show you. What he wants you to see in where you're at and who you are and what you're going through, honey, you're going to see things you never thought you could see. You're going to see the heavenly. The heavenly. So he's reaching out and grabbing worlds. Can you see that? The first one, look into the parables. The first one's going to be the world of the natural. But while he's in the midst of the natural, he's going to show you that you can see the heavenly from there. Amen. Amen. Oh, to be able to see the heavenly. only from where you're at, through his eyes and his perspective in the midst of your parable. And you ain't nothing but a short story anyway. So you might as well let him have it and make it eternal. So he lays out these words. Now we're going to hurry because I smelled that food this morning. It is good. Bad and ugly. There is not only the world of the natural and the world of the spiritual, but in every parable, I challenge you now to read them, you will find the world of the individual or the personal. Because these parables are not only revelations, they are applications. As it is with all the Word of God. You remember when the prophet Nathan came to David to tell him of his sin, and it just went over David's head. And David said, if I find out who that guy is that stole that sheep, I'll have his head. He said, Dave, hold it. You are who this is talking about. And what Jesus wants us to know and see in these parables is that if you just get there and looking real close, I'll tell you when they'll really become applicable and mean something to your life is when you look in there and find you.
Yeah. Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
So, wait a minute. I can remember when I was in that far country. Oh, I'm glad for that night I came to myself. Or maybe you're headed out to the far country. Or maybe you're the father that's waiting on a son and daughter to come back from the far country. Or maybe you're just the one that's just woke up and you found out that somebody special came and took care of you and poured oil and wine in and took you to a place to where you could be restored and was coming back after you. Man, that's wonderful, ain't it? I mean, finding yourself. Maybe you're the ones building your life. Hey, young couple, maybe you're the ones building your house on the sand. Or maybe thank God, you can say, I'm building my house on the rock. I'm building my house on Christ. But here's the thing about it. These parables won't mean anything to you, and the Word of God won't mean anything to you until you look in there and say, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. And I'm glad for the day when I found out I was in the midst of what he was talking about, and he was saying it for me. He was showing me me. The reason why the story of the prodigal is so prominent is because we were all prodigals at one time. We were all in a far country. And when we found out that day that when he revealed to us who we were in that story, oh, what a life-changing effect. Laying out before us not only the world of the physical, the world of the spiritual. Thank God letting us see us inside of. I was visiting a home many years ago when I pastored. The man of the house had a little poodle dog. Now, don't tell Peter about this. I didn't do it. He did. And he took it over to the hallway in his house, kind of like this aisle, and there were bedrooms and bathrooms on the side, and a full-length mirror on that back wall. And he said, I want you to watch this dog. And he took that dog to that hallway and turned it toward that mirror. And automatically that dog became vicious, angry, mad. And he set him down and had these hardwood floors and he couldn't pick up no traction. You could hear him. And it took him to 2/3 down that hall before he could pick up full momentum. He's going to get that dog. He ran all the way down there, didn't even slow up, and slapped into that mirror and bounced off, said, and come back up the hall. He picked him up, and he said, preacher, he doesn't realize that's him. So we got to keep him away from this hall because he would kill himself. He would never stop running into that mirror that he thinks is someone else. I'm going to tell you something. These parables and the Word of God will either help you, heal you, or kill you. But the difference is you're going to have to find yourself in there. Hey, sinner friend, you're going to have to wake up that you're the lost sheep if you're ever going to get out of the wilderness. You're going to have to understand you're the prodigal. You're going to have to be able to see yourself as the sparrow that he feeds and the lilies that he clothes or the rock that we stand on. You've got to see yourself in those positions. And Jesus is the only one that can show you yourself and place you right in the midst of the heart of the parable.
Amen.
So it is all the word of God. Well, if you came here this morning and see what the preacher had to say about somebody else, you missed it.
Yeah.
It ain't going to help your good, bad, and ugly.
That's all right, preacher.
Until
yes,
you find yourself right in the
Amen.
Midst of it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Read those parables. You're going to find these worlds brought together. You're going to find the physical. You're going to find the spiritual. You're going to find the personal, the individual.
Yes.
A wife, myself, had 4 children. You remember taking the baby when it was like 2 months old and holding it up in front of a mirror? It had no clue. It could see. 2 or 3, 4 months old. And it could see the baby in the mirror, but didn't know it was itself. And the actions that it made, it did not relate to that baby in the mirror. But then one day that baby gets, it grows up. Somewhere around 16. And it looks in the mirror and said, "Hey, I think this is me. It's in the mirror." And from that day forward, the baby, when it raises its hands, because it knows it's doing it purposely. It's wanting to see its own smile, its own reaction, because he realizes that he's in the midst of that mirror. I'm going to say it. Jesus gives us these parables so we can look very closely and find ourselves, because in finding ourselves, we can find out what he can do for us in the midst of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Amen.
I believe this is an amen corner. They had me scared. They looked pretty rough. I thought this part of that saying heathen. I said, "Man, I'll have a hard time." Huh? But they wouldn't. The last thing I want you to see. He tells us these parables. Bolus means to throw down these things, parallel them and look at them. He shows us in the midst of every parable, the spiritual, or the natural, the spiritual, and the individual. But can I say to you lastly that in every parable, you will find the eternal. Because it is the great purpose behind the parable. Not for you just to see the natural and not for you just see the personal, but for you to see God. God is in every parable. Sometimes he's the Father, sometimes he's the Son, sometimes he's the Holy Ghost sweeping for the corn. And sometimes Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is all three in one parable. But if you look at that parable, you're going to find God. Somewhere in the midst of that parable, the songwriter says, standing somewhere. I'm not going to say shadows, that's all right. I'm going to say standing somewhere in the parable of your life, in the short story. If you're seeing it like you ought to, you're going to see the ultimate, and that is you're going to see Christ. He's going to be standing in that hospital room saying, "Hey, I'm right here." He's going to be standing in that bedroom when you're weeping about the son that's gone saying, "Hey, I'm here." He's going to be standing there on the way back home saying, "Hey, I'm here." He's saying, "I want you to see me." Everywhere in these parables, you find Jesus. That's why I like to read the Word of God, because I'm certain you can find Jesus in every book, in every paragraph, in every page, in every verse, in every word. If you see it just right, he's there. He's the one that makes the difference. He's the only one to make a difference in the good, the bad, and the ugly. You see, he's the sower. He's the rock on which the house is built. He's the father of the prodigal. He's the father that takes care of the sparrows and clothes the lilies. He's the thief in the night. He's the bridegroom that's coming. He's the owner of the field. It's a portrait of himself. Look at those parables. He is king. He is nobleman. He is master. He is host. He is husbandman. He is shepherd. He is the vine. He's the door. He's the bread. He's the water. When you begin to see everything through the eyes of Christ, what you're going to end up doing is seeing Christ. Because in these parables, we see our surroundings, we see ourselves, but most of all, we see our Savior. Don't you like that? I like that. I didn't see it until I saw it. The natural, the spiritual. Remember the day God awakened you and let you see that there's more to it than what you was thinking. Oh, how tragic it would be to live your whole life in the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that be it. The personal, and now the eternal or the divine. I want to give you a couple illustrations. I'll close. Now, understand. In a sense, we're all short stories. We're all parables. Right. And all of our lives have been filled with life. L-I-F-E. Good, bad, and downright ugly. But honey, he wants to come into your earthly story and give it a heavenly meaning. And that's what he'll do. The difference is kind of like the old paintings. I say old paintings. Back during the 90s, 80s, they had paintings that were called optical illusions. Anybody remember those? Okay, several of you. We didn't know what they were. We was over at Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, and they started coming out with them. And we noticed people standing in front of those pictures that were monotonous because they were the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, one row after another, whether it was boats or birds or bees or whatever. Same thing, painted the same way. I mean, you just looked at it and said, yeah, you know, I wouldn't buy that. But they said, no, what you have to do and what these people are doing, they're not just looking stupid. If you will focus on that art and not let your eyes move around, what happens is your eyes will adjust unnaturally, they said. And once it adjusts unnaturally, something clicks, and it's almost like you step into that picture. It's still a picture, but instead of just a flat picture with the same thing over and over again, it becomes three-dimensional. I was interested in that. So Esther and I stood, she stood in front of one with trains, I stood in front of one with boats. And we stood there for 20 minutes looking dumb. Because you can't move. And everybody walking by, they don't know the story. They're just thinking, why in the world are they focused on? But all of a sudden, I heard her say, "Ooh, I see it, I see it." I said, "You see what?" She said, "I'm inside. I can see the locomotive. I can see the little red caboose. I can see the conductor. I can see the train tracks. I can see the people getting on. I can see the people getting off. I can see the sun and the skies. And I can see a dog running along there. I can see a post office over at the side." I said, "What? On our, with that?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, I got to say, so I had to stand 20 more minutes." Mine was boats. But all of a sudden, it shifted. I felt it. Anybody ever done it? Raise your hand. All right, so I'm not the only one. And I stepped off into the world of which there were all different size of ships and boats, sailboats and motorized boats and fishing boats and the blue waters, and I even saw fish and so on in the water, and I saw a dog running on the ramp right there on the port side of it, and I saw, of course, again, the skies and so on. I mean, it was like I'd stepped off into everything you'd expect to see when you're thinking about a dock or a ship or a port or something like that. But once you shifted your eyes, you was back out to that old boring world. Same old, same old. Same old, same old. It never gets beyond good, bad, and ugly. Same old, same old. Unless you get beyond and see what he sees. And oh, when you begin to see what he sees, honey, it don't get three-dimensional. It gets heavenly. You get a divine perspective of what's going on in your life. It's sort of like looking on a glassy pond. You ever do that? On a calm day with no wind. It's almost like a mirror. And if the water is clear, you can look down in there and you can see all the life that exists below the water. You can see the trout, and you can see what grass or weeds that would grow under there. You can see some logs that have fallen in there. You might even see a turtle working its way up out of there. You can see everything that's in there. But as you're looking in and you're looking down on the glass of that water, you can also look up. Because everything around there is as clear in the water as it is on the bank. The tree looks the same in the water as it is on the bank. I'm going to tell you, the grass is the same on the water because you're looking down and you're being able to see up. And what God wants us to understand is in the midst of our world, for the time that we're in this world, while we're down here, thank God we can look up and see what's going on up there and see there's more to this world than this world. Parables, short earthly stories. But aren't you glad that this is our Father's world? And let me close with this. Wherever you're at, and whatever you're going through, and whoever you are, you're just a short story. You're just a parable. But all he wants to come down into your parable and get personal with you to introduce you what is beyond. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming into my parable. My world. Thank you, Lord, for showing us here what you want us to see there and becoming a part of our lives, our if there be one here, Lord, that you would happen to show them that they're the lost one in the parable, may they trust you. Maybe there be one here that's waiting on the son or daughter that's in the far country. Lord, may they see you and trust you to bring them home. There be one here, Lord, that is in need. Physically, economically, may they see you as the one that takes care of the sparrow and know that you care for them. Help us, Lord, to trust you in our parable. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, and amen.
Amen, preacher. The New Testament says David is that man after God's own heart. reasons many of those psalms we've been looking at in recent days have been so helpful and beneficial to us was because David had his focus right. One thing have I desired. David was able to step into another world. Now, he didn't always keep his focus right. And everything looked flat in the picture. But when he get his focus right again, he could step in to an eternal world, a spiritual world, amen. In these days together, two people can be sitting on the same pew, listening to the same preacher, preach the same parable. You know what's going to be the difference when all is said and done? Who has their focus right and steps in? Oh my, I pray you're ready to get focused. As we said last Sunday, there is a seeking that finds, but it's when it's a focused search, that's when we get to behold the things of the Lord, amen. You know, often the Pharisees would walk away scratching their heads saying, what in the devil was he talking about? Well, one, he really wasn't talking to them to start with, but the bottom line is, they weren't focused. Yeah. Those who were focused, I hope and pray you and I will get focused together in these days. Don't you appreciate the preaching of the Word of God? Don't miss the service tonight.